Welcome back. You're listening to Money Talks, Atlanta's longest running, most respected money show on radio. We're going to come back in here with a listener question from our good friend Ed Kelly, as we discussed prior to the break. Ed writes, with all the changes that have happened at GE over the past 6 or 7 years, do you think they're a hold? I've been waiting for them to make a move upward for what seems like a long time. Are the new strategies going to pan out for them, or is it time for me to sell? Jacob, you want to take it away here?
Yeah, I think you commented on some of stuff before the break. They did spin off a majority of their financials arm. They are investing in energy in a time that seems opportune. So
sure.
I do tend to like that. I think with GE, it's tough. I can understand how the listener feels right now, because to me, when I think about GE, I think they're getting to a point where they're almost too large and diversified to be nimble enough to respond to opportunities in the market, especially with my feeling that we are in a late cycle in spite of, you know, some themes out there as far as infrastructure spending,
right,
and deregulation. And I think what I've seen from them is what's really driving profits right now is aviation and energy. Power and energy,
right?
Utilities, that sort of stuff. And I guess when I think about that, well, if we think about the Trump trade, like we've been talking about, I think on the power side, some of the investments that they made in clean energy may be a little ill-timed here. If we do have some deregulation in coal, as well as aviation. I mean, you have Trump coming out saying he's trying to renegotiate with Lockheed and Northrop Grumman. So there could be some headwinds there. I also see that they have a geographic exposure that's primarily international. Actually, it's only 45% U.S. So
with a
strong
dollar.
Yeah, with a strong dollar. So if it were me, I would probably cut it loose. I think there's better opportunities out there.
And to the way he asked it is probably easier to answer. I've been waiting for them to make a move upward for what seems like a long time. I don't see that the stock's not going to drop off 20% tomorrow, but I don't think the stock's going to pop up 20% tomorrow either.
Well, we're already seeing growth forecasts for the next 2 years of double digits, and it feels like it's pricing the stock. Not to mention it's generally before traded at a premium to competition, but right now the valuation looks a little rich.
Right.
Well, Ed, to answer your question simply, I think the best way to do that is to allude to Nick's comment earlier. We sold it earlier this year. We recommended that all clients did, and that's kind of where we stand. Does it still exist in our universe, meaning meeting most of our investment criteria? Yes, but I mean, I think clearly if we're recommending that it be sold to our clients, then to answer your question very simply, I would say, and you guys may or may not agree, but
cut it loose.
Yep,
I agree. And one other thing, if it is attractive to hold on the dividend, or historically it has been, but Jacob and I talked about this earlier, it's yielding under 3%. And when you have the 10-year yield ticking up to 2.6%, it's really not giving you that much additional yield for the risk you're taking in.
That's
there.
Right.
Not to mention the company's guided towards a 50% payout ratio, which they're already in excess of. So I wouldn't anticipate them growing that dividend very much over the next, you know, 2-3 years. I think 2018, 2019 was the target for that.
Cut it loose.
Cut it loose.
Cut it loose.
I've got another question here. Lonnie from Decatur wrote, I've owned Walgreens Boots Alliance for about a year, and I've watched it go up and down the entire way. I know I shouldn't watch it daily, but this one is one of my first individual stock picks after branching out from index funds. Do I keep this and just close my eyes for the ups and downs, or do I need to keep an eye on it and sell it at its peak? Well, first of all, selling it at its next peak implies you have some pretty darn good knowledge, because when you know it's at a peak,
yeah,
your guess is as good as mine.
Right.
But the story goes a little bit deeper than that. Walgreens and Alliance Boots in the process of purchasing Rite Aid, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's a $17 billion offer, which I think Rite Aid has taken. It's really awaiting FTC approval. I believe it's going to go through because there's enough competition from CVS. But it's still not through yet, so there is some, you know, M&A type risk there.
Absolutely. We kind of like something that's a little bit more diversified than just the pharmacy business. We prefer CVS. It's got better growth prospects. It looks more attractive on a PEG ratio. And also what we like is they own a PBM, pharmacy benefit management arm of the company, which we think probably is going to do a lot better than just the retail side, whereas Walgreens is solely relying on what retail and whatever clinics they
operate in the store. Right. Yeah. Yeah. I like that vertical integration. I like that comment. The other thing I would add is I kind of don't understand the strategy from Walgreens. They acquire Boots and Boots has about 50% of revenues from non-pharma.
Right.
And it seems like they're trying to execute that same strategy in the U.S. I've heard comments from management about increasing their beauty business. And I just feel like that vision doesn't make sense. To me, you see CVS actually cease to sell tobacco products in the store.
Right.
Roll out their urgent care practice. And it just seems like they're more aligned with health outcomes as a whole, and not to mention they're U.S. focused. They don't have that European exposure.
That was going to be my next point. They do have a large amount of exposure to Europe, which will likely, you know, weigh on earnings as the dollar continues to strengthen as we expect. But more so, it's almost like they're trying to follow in CVS's footsteps and say, oh, you know, we're this kind of healthcare, which includes beauty, which includes clinics, which includes worse. CVS seems to be purely healthcare. Sure, they have a front store presence, but that's not where they're making all their money. It's something else I want to address this question. So we would get rid of Walgreens if it were up to us. But you mentioned this is your first time abandoning index funds, and you're a little uneasy watching this thing move on a day-to-day basis. This stock has a beta of 0.97, which means it basically moves right in line with the market, less volatile than the overall market, which worries me because if something that we would consider a pretty stable company is causing you stress at night, what is something in the technology sector or, you know, something more volatile going to do to you, an industrial company? Maybe this isn't the time, or maybe this isn't for you to branch out and try and actively manage your own portfolio. Now, if this is kind of a side pool of money you like to play with and have fun with, then by all means, you know, we like that you're buying high quality companies. This definitely meets our criteria, but you need to take a step back and consider, am I too emotional to be managing my own money? Because there's much more decisions to be made than just picking this one stock or two stocks. There's sector allocation decisions. And, you know, you can come in here and meet with someone like Jared, one of our experts, and they can take the stress away from you and all those active decisions that you would have to make and put it in the hands of, you know, people that are qualified to do so.
I found it very interesting coming on the team here that a lot of our advisors here actually have another advisor manage their money for them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, because I think a lot of the success in the management or the performance of a portfolio really comes from eliminating that emotional attachment that you have as the investor to your own money. And so to Lonnie's point here, you know, the reason I think he's so you know, maybe emotional about it, he's saying, you know, he's watching it go up and down, and he just maybe should close his eyes and hope for the best. Well, when you do engage an advisor or have someone professionally help you, that is something you're eliminating, and that's meaningful because that emotional attachment can, you know, cause you to make bad decisions, and I think that's a lot of why you see.
Yeah, I think another just side point in general, as far as my approach, I think it's important when you invest in a firm to have a thesis and evaluate that thesis over time. That way you have the conviction.
Sure.
That way you're not just looking at the chart, what is it doing? You're looking at the earnings reports. You're looking at what management is saying as far as execution. Is it doing what you thought it was going
to
do?
It's a full-time job to manage your own portfolio.
Absolutely.
Well, guys, as we wrap up the end of this show and, more importantly, the year, I think we could spend another minute or so talking about kind of what we expect in the year ahead. I know it's going to be interesting with, you know, anticipated policies out of Trump. It's all talk right now. We'll see what happens. But obviously his policies are going to drive the market to some extent. Fed action. Jacob, I know you're going to be closely watching that. What are some other themes you guys are expecting in the year ahead?
Yeah, I think between that Fed action and the fact that, you know, there seems to be a lot of speculation surrounding deregulation that Trump may or may not bring. Given that, I mean, I would expect to see financials perform really well. And I know you guys would probably laugh at that, but that is completely speculative on my part. But I will say that given what I've heard about deregulation, what the Fed's doing with interest rates, it would seem that they stand to be some of the beneficiaries, if you will, of those changes. And so I would expect to see those perform very well. And they already have, truly, since,
right,
as we talked about at the beginning of the show, you know, what they've done since president-elect or what happened since the election. So, you know, that's where my money's at.
Yeah, I would tend to fade the recent action and load up on healthcare here. I like healthcare. I like the valuations. I feel like we're in a late cycle environment. We cut our EM exposure. I think the dollar is going to strengthen here. I think we'll cover this next week when Troy gets back.
Guys,
our forecast.
It's been a slice of heaven. Thanks for listening.
All material presented is compiled from sources believed to be reliable and current, but accuracy cannot be guaranteed. The contents are intended for general information purposes only. Information provided should not be the sole basis in making any decisions and is not intended to replace the advice of a qualified professional, such as a tax consultant, insurance advisor, or attorney. Although this material is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information with respect to the subject matter, it may not apply in all situations. This is not to be construed as an offer to buy or sell any financial instruments. It is not our intention to state, indicate, or imply in any manner that current or past results are indicative of future profitability or expectations. Portfolio holdings discussed are subject to change. There is no guarantee that in the future these securities will be held in Hensler accounts. As with all investments, there are associated inherent risks. Please obtain and review all financial material carefully before investing. Hensler is not licensed to offer or sell insurance products. This overview is not to be construed as an offer to purchase any insurance products.